Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 28th of February, 2015, and I am in Acapulco, Mexico, where I am joined in the flesh by Benny Wills of Joy Camp. I am sure 99% of my audience knows Benny, or at least his work by now. But Benny, for those who do not know Joy Camp, please describe it to us.
Sure. First of all, pleasure to talk to you in person, James, here in Acapulco. Joy Camp is a YouTube comedy channel where we try to spread truth through comedy and awareness.
How long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it for exactly 3 years, to the day almost.
Wow.
Yeah, I think our launch date was like March 7th, 2012, so almost exactly 3 years.
The risk of asking a question that you've been asked a million times before, why did you start?
Wow, that's a kind of a complicated question. I started because I have, well, I'll say we, because there's more than one person involved with Joy Camp. My friends and I all have entertainment backgrounds. I come from a theater background, and Kevin, who's the co-creator of Joy Camp, he comes from just making film, a filmmaker background. He started making films with his friends when he was a kid, and I started doing acting and theater when I was a kid. And we also both woke up, quote unquote, woke up around the same time, actually about 11 years ago now. And we also had great senses of humor. Like, we've always loved to laugh and make people laugh. And it was sort of a marrying of all these things. So all that theater training, acting training, plus his filmmaking ability and editing ability, plus our awareness that was ever expanding, all wrapped up into one. And it was, as soon as we figured out that was what we could do to contribute towards a better cause, it was like a no-brainer. It was like, oh wow, we can marry these worlds, because for a long time they were separate. So it was personal re-education on part of the day, and the other part of the day would be training to be an actor, and then realizing that I could combine the two and actually do something for the good. And it was just a big epiphany light bulb moment for all of us, and it's been a honeymoon ever since.
So you guys have been doing this for 3 years now, and you've been doing the sort of comedy truth marriage.
Yeah.
It's a pretty isolated genre. It's pretty specific.
It's a niche market.
Yeah. Did you have any influences going into it?
Yeah, man, we have so many influences. I think primarily we were really influenced by Bill Hicks and George Carlin, because they're sort of truth comedians. But just growing up with comedy in general, like loving Monty Python. For me, The Animaniacs, remember this show in the early 90s, cartoon and Fox, was a huge influence for me as a kid. Just humor in general, sketch comedy. And people like Jim Carrey was a huge influence for both Kevin and me as children. So, yeah, and then I think Bill Hicks and George Carlin really kicked it into gear. And then when they were both gone, I mean, Bill Hicks has been gone for a while, but then when George Carlin died a few years ago, there was a serious void for intelligent humor. I think the most intelligent you could get was from The Daily Show or The Colbert Report, and, you know, The Daily Show doesn't seem to be helping anything. So when that's your pinnacle of intelligent comedy, you need something better, and that's where we come in.
If you had said Kids in the Hall, you would have won over my
heart. Oh, I could say Kids in the Hall, though. Because,
right.
I mean, sketch comedy in general, and I love Kids in the Hall. I've probably seen every episode of Kids in the Hall.
All right. So you raise an important point, because you talk about Daily Show, Colbert Report, obviously doing sort of news comedy, right? That's kind of the example in our generation. But obviously from a certain slant, obviously certain topics will be covered, certain topics won't.
Right.
It raises the question generally about this marriage of comedy and truth. And to what extent, here's the sort of deeper philosophical question. You get an onion or something that will cover even 9/11 truth, which they've done several times. There was a story recently, US government admits to just demolishing Tower 1, but not Tower 2. That was the Muslims. They were planning a separate attack at the same time.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that.
There are a lot of stories. I've seen at least three stories like that.
Wow.
From the Onion. Which is interesting for a lot of reasons, because obviously, I mean, there's a bit of 9/11 truth kind of in those types of stories, mm-hmm. but it's always presented in the back door with a comedy thing.
You're talking about the Onion.
Yeah. To dismiss it, right? Mm-hmm. It's comedy. This is satire. If the Onion covers it, it's clearly in that realm. Mm-hmm. What's your take on the way satire can be used to undermine truth?
To undermine it? Well, for instance, Jon Stewart, when Jon Stewart holds up a sign to the camera that says 9/11 was an outside job, he's not helping anything. He's perpetuating a myth and getting more people who, he's getting people that perhaps were starting to wake up, but who follow Jon Stewart to then take Jon Stewart's word as gospel. So he's not helping anything. So I think that that's totally undermining any sort of progress that we have in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree totally. Yeah. And again, John Leibowitz, his brother, of course, head of the New York Stock Exchange. Those types of things.
Always that. Yeah,
they never come up for some reason.
And then Jon Stewart recently, like, dressing like Hitler and making a stance about against anti-vaccination people. I mean, that's just.
I didn't see that.
He's not doing any. He's not helping anything. He's blindly listening to some news source and not doing any of his own research and not listening to the thousands of parents who are directly affected by vaccinations in their children with autism and whatever, and he's spreading propaganda. Mm. And that's supposed to be our intelligent humor? Mm. Furthermore, so many people, so many liberals, that's their news source, the Daily Show. That's where they get their news. That's insane to me. Like, that's what they rely on, Jon Stewart, for news.
But having said that, every single person listening to this conversation, except someone who accidentally strayed to this part of the internet and is very lost, knows about the propaganda matrix and, you know, the networks and who controls the networks and what's allowed on TV and what isn't. Right. But I want to concentrate today on the other side of that.
Please.
Because Joy Camp is the other side of that, I think. Mm-hmm. And work, you know, channels like that or ideas like that can be the other side. Because we always talk about propaganda and how it seeps in through the media and even our entertainment. So everyone's, you know, scrutinizing all these movies and everything for the propaganda message, as they should be, because we should be aware we're being indoctrinated. Yeah. The question becomes, can you fight fire with fire? Can you use culture creation, which we usually think of in that negative sense, in a positive sense?
Well, it depends on what you classify as fire, I suppose. I mean, we definitely don't consider what we're doing as fighting. We consider what we're doing as lightening it up, almost like putting water on the fire so people can not be so against the information. You know, we're using humor to break down people's defenses. So if someone's fiery, we're like, splashing gentle, loving, comedic water all over them so that they might be more willing to have an open mind about a certain topic. And we try to do it with finesse so that our comedy isn't preachy. We'll bring up subjects that are definitely taboo and controversial and not funny at all, but we try not to tell you how we feel about it. You can get a sense, just because if you get a sense of our channel, you see where we're coming from, but we don't want to tell you how to think. So we're trying to get people to acknowledge an issue that they maybe have been trying to ignore, and then offer it to them as like, here, this is something that you might want to pay attention to, so that they can go and then do their own research and learn about it and come to their own conclusion, and maybe have us just be there to hold their hand through it. You know, give them that initial push.
Right. And that's important because it is about the audience and their reception of this. I mean, I think that's clearly what this is geared towards. So tell us about the kind of reception you receive when you put these hardcore things in the light-hearted manner.
Well, the reception is generally pretty good. Now, that said, our audience tends to be people who are already of a like mind. So their response is positive. There are those who find our videos, and some people are really confused by it. So we get a lot of comments. I shouldn't say a lot. We get some comments from people that can't tell where we stand. They're like, even yesterday we got one that said, is this a channel making fun of conspiracy theorists? Or is this someone who's, are they aware and then they're making fun? So it just depends. And then there's others who are just trolls and they think that we are shills, disinfo agents, you know, working for Hollywood Zionist or something. So it's a mixed bag, just like everyone gets, I'm sure.
But tell us about the positive reception.
Oh, yeah. Well, the positive reception is what keeps us going, because we get messages from people just thanking us so genuinely for the work we're doing. And for instance, we'll get comments from people like, finally something I can post on my Facebook wall without being attacked by my friends. And that right there says it all. I mean, that's the goal, to give someone something that they can show to someone who's not necessarily thinking outside the box, who doesn't want to listen, and they'll laugh at it and go, wow, okay, now I want to know more about chemtrails, for instance. And that's amazing. That's an amazing feeling. And that also shows us that we're on the right track. So yeah, it's very beneficial. And also, it makes people feel less alone, I think, because it's easy to forget. Like, I have my friends and my sort of internet friends now, so I feel like I'm in a community. But I think a lot of people go through this so alone, and they feel isolated, and they feel crazy. So we give them that sort of comfort, knowing that we're out there and knowing that they can rely on us to feel less alone.
So we talked about this earlier off camera. We were talking about JoyCamp's, obviously a comedy YouTube channel is kind of the short description, but recently you've been moving into other more philosophical realm. It's more of a, I mean, there's longer pieces that are not just punchline. They're getting into deeper places. Tell us about that transition.
Well, I think it's a natural transition because we're growing and we are artists. And it's definitely quality over quantity for us. And making a quick little video, say a commercial parody that's 1 minute long, that's playing to the short attention span of the age we live in, is one thing just to get views, but it's something else to do something that really means something for us, that comes from our heart, that comes from our creative minds, that's an actual piece that doesn't necessarily garner the most views, but means something more and has more depth and will hopefully stand the test of time better than, say, a one-off, a quick little video. So I think it's a natural evolution, and it's a natural evolution for our channel, for our brand, and for just us as creators.
Yeah, and with that, attendant with that, I think is a noticeable rise in production quality. Yeah. And I assume this is kind of learning process, you guys are learning and testing out and stepping a little bit forward each time.
Yeah. Well, we went into this with everyone who was involved really good at what they do, and now everybody's just getting better at what they do because we've been doing it so consistently for 3 years, and all of our crafts are just becoming more and more honed. Excuse me. When we first started, we didn't even have scripts. We were just kind of, we had an idea, and then we would sort of wing it and figure it out in the moment, and we become so thorough now. I mean, there is a checklist and a script, and everything is taken. We have everything ready to go with room, with a window for something to happen in the moment, and sometimes that's our best stuff that happens spontaneously. But we definitely are prepared now. We have harnessed our craft, and I mean, everybody involved is just getting better and better. Kevin and Nick, our editors, are just out of this world good. And I can say that my writing has gotten so much more crisp and sharp and good, and our sense of timing and humor, and also our overall awareness, because with the subject matter we're dealing with, we can't be lazy. So we have to know what we're talking about. So it forces us then to do our own research so that we're not spreading disinformation, so that we are there to present accurate information. So yeah, it's just naturally evolving.
Well, without putting you on the guru pedestal, if there is someone out there who's listening to this or watching this who is thinking about doing something, I mean, not necessarily YouTube comedy or whatever, but thinking about getting out there and putting their message, their talents to use in this kind of way, what would your message to that person who's hesitating about it be?
I would say just do it and adjust along the way and stop thinking about it. You know, if you have something to say, say it, and you'll find your voice, because it takes failure. You know, you can be willing to fall flat on your face and then get back up and do it again. Have it be whatever you want. You know, if it's YouTube comedy, if you see what we do and you think I could do that better, by all means, do it better. But do it. Do something. Do anything you can, you know, for yourself, for others. Just go for it would be my advice. There's no time like the present. I mean, it's cliche or whatever, but I mean, it's so true. Just do it.
Yeah. All right. Okay, final big denouement question.
Please, bring it on.
Spinning wheels, where do you see yourself in 5 months, 5 years, and 50 years?
Wow, that's a big question. That's an excellent question. That's a question I'm asking myself all the time. Well, as I move forward in my life, I mean, I'm in Los Angeles right now, and as, you know, as the evolution of Joy Camp continues and as my personal life path keeps unfolding, I don't see myself staying in Los Angeles very much longer because it just feels dead to me. And what I wanted a life, I don't think I can find in Los Angeles. I'm not looking for fame in that way, fortune or anything. And that place is just packed to the brim and it's polluted and the water's dirty and it's running out. So I think, okay, I can be here for now, but I have to think about where I want to be soon. I love the idea of being in the Pacific Northwest, at least as a dual residency within the next 5 months, definitely within the next year. And beyond that, I want to be places that we're not supposed to be. We're all being sort of pushed into cities. And I'd rather not be in a city. I'd rather be in a place that's fertile, that I can grow food. And I'd love to be back. I'd love to reacquaint myself with cycles and with nature and live in a more harmonious state. And that's a long-term goal where that puts me in the next, what was the time frame, 25, 50 years?
Five months, 5 years, 50 years.
So 5 months, I want to establish at least a dual residency. And beyond that, I want to be where it's clean and conducive to natural human tendencies and where I can realign with nature. And hopefully things are going to keep getting better from here in general, so I won't have to be limited to where I can be, and I can be all kinds of places. But that's where I want to be moving forward. I definitely want to live someplace or some places that are alive.
Well, Benny, whatever you do, I hope you can continue making me laugh.
I'll try my best. I don't see how we can stop at this point.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, James. Pleasure.